I know you all know I love words. And I know I use a lot. I know that too. But the word next, when you look at its etymology, when you look it up, its deepest and its oldest roots mean that which is closest to you. That which will follow in logical order. That which is closest to you. That which will follow in logical order. So as I considered the sermons for the month of June, I was asking God, what's next for this church? What's next for me? What's closest to them? What will follow in logical order? And God said, I have a story for you and for the church. So as we launch out on this journey whose end we do not know, as we position ourselves to imagine new and, I trust, glorious things, what's next? And I think Joshua was asking that same question when we meet him in Deuteronomy 31. Elaine read to us a single verse, but that's all we need for this sermon. Because in Deuteronomy 31, Joshua has got to be asking, what's next? You see, here's what's going on. Months and years ago, when they were in the middle of the Exodus, in the book of Numbers, all of a sudden, there is no water. And in Numbers 20, because there's no water, the people begin to complain bitterly. Numbers 20 reads like this. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would it that we had died in Egypt? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness for us and our livestock to die? Why have you brought us out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? There's no grain, no figs, no vines, no pomegranates, not even water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take your staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron, and command the rock that is before you to yield water. Then shall your livestock and the people drink." Well, if you know this story from Numbers 20, Moses decided to show off a little bit. And instead of commanding the rock, he takes the staff and strikes it twice. And God says this to Moses, "Because you did not trust me to show my holiness before the people by speaking, therefore, Moses, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." Moses knew way back in Numbers 20 that when they got to the promised land, when they could look across the Jordan and see the land that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that he was not going to go. All these years later, as the people are headed for their new lives in a new place with the same God, Moses has to turn over the leadership to Joshua. And Joshua has to be wondering, what's next? I've not earned the respect of the people. I'm not a general like Moses. I don't even know where we're going. I've never been. I don't know what's in that promised land. God, are you sure? I may not be the one. What's next? And I can imagine Joshua looking at the sky and crying out, what's next? I can imagine this church, after almost 15 years of the same white robe, wondering what's next. And I know, as I walk away from a people and a job I love to a place that is so different and unknown, I look toward heaven with a bit of an attitude and ask, what's next? But God was so gracious to Jacob, to Joshua, in that one verse. In that one verse of Deuteronomy 31, in verse 8, God says through Moses to Joshua four things. God says, the Lord himself, no angels, no extras, the Lord himself goes before you. The Lord will be with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you. You have this God who will be with you, never leave you or forsake you. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. The Lord will be with you. The word trust, whenever you read it in the Hebrew Bible, its Hebrew derivative is hasa. And that word in the Hebrew means this: to hope in the Lord, to have a confident expectation that whatever God is bringing is good for you. Whether it comes in the moment or whether it's in the future, this trust means that what God is bringing will be, is already good for you, for me, for Joshua. So in this place where he's working to trust God, he hears the Lord himself goes before you. That means, Joshua, there's no place you can go. There's no place you can set your foot. There's no place you can wander, lost or on purpose, where God has not already gone before you and begun to set the thing right. There is nothing about your journey, Joshua, that will surprise the God who has chosen you. And the same is true for you, for this church. For me, the Lord himself has already ushered the space. And he will be with you. Beloved, the writer Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. When on Pentecost that Spirit came, it was not just the wind in the world. It was the Spirit that lives in your belly and mine. Joshua did not know this, but you and I do. When we hear God say, I am with you, it is not alongside. It's not just above. It's not just below. It's not just to the left and the right, but it is in our very... You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that not only has God gone before you, but wherever you go, God is with you. God is in you. God is never separate. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I have a best friend, and we fell out in college. And thanks to Facebook, I have stalked her low these years. But I've never reached out. I cannot think of an emotion we did not share. But the break felt so final. And when I was preparing this sermon, it was, if you're going to be like me, you need to at least imagine, maybe not the friendship, that was a long time ago, but maybe the, I see you are well. I've learned that sometimes it's just farewell. But that's in our human guise. God says to us, farewell, but remember, I'm in you. So I am part of that faring well. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Elaine, when you were talking about your father walking you down that tree, do not be discouraged. I'm right here. I'm going to guide you. Do not be afraid. I'm going to tell you where to place your feet. I remember as a child falling into a snowdrift and my 6'4", 284-pound father saying, stand up, because I've always been tall. Now, those are my footsteps. Just put your feet in my footsteps. Just reach over. I've already laid the path for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you. I've gone before you. I won't leave you or forsake you. And I will make a path for you to follow. What's next? beloved, what's next for us is that we choose to trust. That we choose to trust God no matter what. That we choose to trust whether miracles crossed our paths or it feels like we're in the midst of hell. That we choose to trust whether someone's disappointed you or you've disappointed yourself. That we choose to trust because God has said, I will take all of this and I will make it for your good. And no, Zena, you may not see it. You may not understand it. Because when I hear the phrase, I will be with you, there are times when I wonder, God, where are you? You feel so absent from me. I know you promised to be with me, but I just can't feel it. And I'm reminded in those moments that, you know, those summer nights when there's no wind, when it's pitch black, I can't see and I can't feel the refreshment of the wind, that it doesn't mean that the sun is not going to rise and the wind is not present. It's just that I can't feel them in that moment. God's promise to us is real. God will never leave, never forsake. Even when it feels like God is far away, I am in you, Spirit, in you, temple, you are. I am there. Joshua would become an amazing leader for the people of God. And Joshua would make some pretty big mistakes. And God's promises to Joshua were still true. What's next? Our first step is to trust. Is to trust that, like our morning anthem said, though there might be hell and the schemes of man, nobody can pluck us from his hand. Like the morning anthem said, you are my hope, you are my stay. Like we sang just a little bit ago, I am going to trust you no matter what. Is it easy? Not always. Now I imagine Joshua, as he was standing at the precipice of this journey into the new land, had some worry and had some fear. We are human, and worry and fear are human. But that's why the writer of Philippians said, I know you're going to worry. I know you're going to fear. But let me offer you this advice, be anxious for nothing. And if we could only see the tense of that verse in Philippians 4, we would know that what it really means, Bonnie, is when you are anxious, then by prayer. And supplication. And be really clear. Supplication is a fancy word for ask. By prayer. And asking God for what you need. Ah, but there's a qualifier in that Philippians verse. With thanksgiving. So when I am anxious, because I'm human, and like Joshua at the precipice of the promised land, I am going to be anxious. When I am anxious, by prayer, my dialogue with God, by supplication, asking God, and with thanksgiving, and thanksgiving because I've learned to trust God. I've learned that you will bring me out. Make your requests known. Is it crazy for Joshua to be a leader? Is it crazy for me to move across country? Is it crazy for you to be in the process of looking for a pastor? No. No. Because God has said, I got you. I got you. Trust me. Come close and trust me. In Christ alone, I declare my trust for God. In Christ alone, I speak and believe God's promises, God's provision, God's presence, God's power in Christ alone. We stand. May we, on this journey whose end we do not know, may our next be to trust. And when we feel weak, may we know that there is a table set. Table set that is meant to strengthen us, that is meant to encourage us, that is meant to remind us Christ is with us in all things. I trust that you will come to the table with me. I trust that Jesus will meet us there. And I trust that He will walk with us every moment of our lives.